Hello all, I'm Ignacio Ayala, the lead analyst for data and insights here at Silverline, and welcome to What Just Happened, a short format podcast where I ask my colleagues to quickly explain recent geopolitical incidents, their relevant background, and key issues to watch. Today, we will be discussing the recent U.S. Supreme Court's decision on Colorado's legal capability to bar Donald Trump from the presidential elections ballot with Claire Brady, our associate analyst at the America's Desk in Silverline. Hello, Claire. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Claire, what just happened?
So basically, back on December 19th, the Colorado Supreme Court disqualified Trump from its presidential primary ballot based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which says that no person shall be elected if they have engaged in insurrection. So basically, the Colorado Supreme Court decided that Trump played a key role in the January 6th, 2021 attack at the U.S. Capitol and therefore should not be allowed on the ballot. Now, of course, Trump appealed this decision to the Supreme Court, who took up the case, and then the court started to hear arguments back in February. And just yesterday, on March 4th, the Supreme Court released a unanimous decision that the 14th Amendment does not allow Colorado to bar Trump from the state's primary ballot, meaning that he will appear on Colorado's primary ballot and every other state's Republican ballot on March 5th for Super Tuesday, which is today.
Thank you very much. And did the U.S. Supreme Court also decide on the matter of Donald Trump taking part in the insurrection, or did it only decide on the state's capability to bar candidates from its ballots?
Yeah, so that's actually a really interesting question, because the Supreme Court did not answer or address in any way whether they believed that Trump did or did not engage in insurrection. So while there can be no more legal challenges on that question regarding the ballot itself, it is still up for debate and something that voters will now have to contend with at the polls for themselves. And a lot of legal scholars are actually already criticizing the Supreme Court for this, saying that they basically just kicked the problem over to Congress because they said that this provision in the Constitution can only be enacted by legislation. But I think it was pretty clear from the first day of arguments with the Supreme Court that they were always going to take the allegedly easier path of avoiding that question and focusing on the technical wording of the clause itself, which the Supreme Court has a history of doing.
That's very interesting. You just named Congress. What's the role of Congress here?
Yeah, so basically the essence of the court's ruling was that states can only disqualify a person holding or attempting to hold state office. So it's only Congress that can do that for federal office. So the interesting part of that ruling, though, is that this does leave open a scenario in which Trump wins in the November election and at least one branch of Congress ends up under Democratic control. And then on January 6th, 2025, when the newly elected Congress will meet to certify the results of the election, it is extremely possible that a movement from a likely group of Democrats wants to refuse to count Trump's electors by citing the 14th Amendment and the Supreme Court's decision to give Congress the power to enforce that. So essentially, now this power is in the hands of Congress. However, the majority, in their opinion that they wrote, did caution against this scenario and said it would cause chaos, and there is really no statute that says Congress can refuse to count Electoral College votes. But again, a lot of scholars and legal opinions are already saying that the court was not strict enough in saying that this scenario was not allowed.
January 6th is definitely going to be, again, an interesting day to watch in the U.S. So what are the effects on the primaries, and what do you think are the long-term ramifications of this decision?
Yeah, so essentially this ruling overrides all state challenges against Trump now. So states like Maine and Illinois, who had also barred Trump from their ballot, will now have to reverse their rulings. But the Secretary of State in Maine and Colorado have already publicly stated that Trump is now eligible and on the ballot. So there was really no holdup or contention in that transition process. And this was a pretty clear example of checks and balances. But similarly, all states that had pending cases on that issue will now have to dismiss those and or quickly just rule in favor of Trump. In terms of the upcoming primaries, the ruling basically means that voting continues as normal. The Supreme Court acted very quickly in this case to ensure their decision came out before Super Tuesday or the March 5th primaries, which is when 16 states will go to the ballot. So now that has lessened a big government stability risk that a lot of people were worried about. For the long term, the Supreme Court has never ruled on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment before, so they just set the official precedent, and which, while that in itself can lead to a lot of contention, we are assessing that short-term supervision quality risks will be lessened because there was a lot of concern among the general public that the decision would be influenced by partisan preferences and the ruling would just end up in a 6-3 decision with a conservative majority. But the ruling was unanimous, which does signal, you know, that the decision was bipartisan. And in reading the Supreme Court's actual writings, you can really tell that the ruling just came down to the specific language in the Constitution. But that being said, in the long term, there is still a lot of concern over the impartiality of the Supreme Court, and that is not going to end anytime soon. The Supreme Court currently has a 40% approval rate, which is a record low, and that is likely to continue as we see Donald Trump return to the Supreme Court on April 22nd for a case concerning his immunity in terms of criminal charges for overturning the 2020 election.
That was going to be my last question. Do we expect any other cases potentially barring Trump from the ballot?
No. So Trump's position on the ballot is now secured. But like I said, he's not done with the Supreme Court. They still have to decide whether he has immunity and is cleared of criminal prosecution for his role in trying to overturn the previous election. However, even if they rule he does not have immunity and these criminal trials proceed and he is criminally charged, that does not bar him from running for president. He still will be fully able to appear on the ballot, whether or not these cases are even wrapped up by November. So it is a big possibility that Trump's criminal trials won't even be decided by the time it's November 5th and voters are going to the polls. So again, that is something they will also have to contend with, how much that influences their vote, just like voters now have to decide for themselves whether Trump engaged in insurrection or not.
Well, thank you very much, Claire, for taking part in this episode of What Just Happened.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And that wraps up another episode of What Just Happened. Thank you for listening, and make sure to check out all of Civiline's content through your favorite podcast provider. To get more content or to contact us, read the details down below. Thank you very much.